Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
At one point, Uganda required a 3-year stay for the adopting family. There is an ebb and flow here. We say that's not doable. You know, our adoptive families will not do that. And so it does change. Guatemala used to have a tremendous amount of kids just recently coming out of there for adoption, and now there are none coming out of there. So the landscape changes rather rapidly.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, it's estimated that there are around 1 million children in the United States today who live with their adoptive parents. These kids are definitely chosen children, what some would say, and the bond between parents and their adoptive sons and daughters is actually amazing. I should know because my wife Kathy and I are adoptive parents ourselves. Well, there are kids all over the world who need parents, and during the next half hour, I'm going to continue my conversation with a man who may be one of the best qualified to talk about this subject in the entire world. His name is Kim Brown. He's the president, the CEO of Holt International Children's Services. But not only are Kim and his wife adoptive parents, but Kim is an adult adoptee as well. Adoption, it's a beautiful way to build your family, is once again our topic right here on Homeward. Stick with us. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU has the country's only doctoral program in higher education that takes a strength-based approach. The university focuses on its students' strengths upon entry into the program, helps them develop and leverage those strengths in order to achieve excellence, and that's what our kids really need in the educational world. If you want to learn more about this doctoral program through APU, just go to homeward.com or you can just go straight to APU. APU.edu. And today on the program, you're going to earn a doctorate of sorts in what it's like to be completely pro-life as far as adoption goes. We're going to hear from an adoption agency representative and an adult adoptee herself, too. So be listening all throughout the program for that information. Now here's part one of today's lesson with Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about adoption, a beautiful way to build your family. We have Kim Brown back with us. We've been having a great conversation with Kim. You know, this is an important issue, Roger. It's an important issue for me personally because of us adopting a child, and I find more and more people are coming to Homeward and asking questions about adoption, and what a privilege for us to have Kim Brown with us. He's the president, the CEO of Holt, H-O-L-T, International Children's Services. It's the oldest and I think one of the most successful international adoption agencies. Interestingly enough, Kim was adopted from Korea, moved to Omaha, Nebraska. We talked about that last time. Kim, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
You know, Kim, 50 years ago or so, Holt International, Harry Holt shows up. He was Holt International at that time. And, you know, today we have almost between 40,000 and 50,000 kids you have who have been placed through an adoption situation. Tell us the story of Harry Holt. You know, most of us probably don't know him.
Well, Harry and Bertha Holt, actually, husband and wife, began their lives together in the Midwest, in the Iowa, South Dakota area, and then moved out, saw opportunity to the West. They were failed farmers in the Midwest, and they moved out and acquired land and became very successful lumber people in the Oregon area. And we're at a church function and saw a videotape of these children, the biracial Korean children, in the streets in Seoul. And Harry had prayed that God show him some purpose for his life. And when he saw it, the two of them agreed, this is it. We don't know what it looks like or what it means, but it's going to change our lives. And so we need to change some lives over there. So he literally got on a plane and went and was walking through the streets. In fact, it's hard to believe our board chair currently is an adoptee as well and was picked up and given a ride by Harry Holt when he was 4 looking for food in the streets. And so there's a long, long legacy of the Holt agency in Korea. What happened was while Harry was working in Korea, he suffered a massive heart attack and died. And everyone was concerned that this was going to affect the agency and the children's lives who the agency touched. And what happened was his wife, Bertha, though she was a different personality in her own way, was very strong, a very strong woman, and became very an integral part, a figurehead, if you will, for the agency. And so, as in most cases, when the front of the line goes down, other people step up. And so it's been a long, long, 50 years of legacy of working in Korea and actually 13 other countries as well.
Well, now it's incredible. As you think about this guy, I'm glad, by the way, that his farming didn't work because it brought him, to a place where he could do this. But, he would look back now from heaven and know God's heart, and God's heart is always with the children, and probably be amazed that it's not just Korea now, that it's, 13 others, so 14 countries that you're involved in and have been, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, the oldest international adoption agency. Pretty incredible. A lot of us are looking at this. The news, there's so much on orphans, and we, have been talking about Haiti, and we'll continue to talk about Haiti. But there's so many people who are thinking about, say, international adoption. When they're looking at places like, Africa or China or Russia, I mean, how do they go about even the process of looking at, what country, and how do you know what country is open? For example, I'll hear oftentimes that, well, this country was really doing a lot of adoptions. Now they've closed that. Do they call a place like Holt? Do they look at the website at Holt? And is that how they get that kind of information?
That information would be available. And what I would suggest is to begin the application process. It's quite a bit of information. I've heard people say it's a lot of information, and it is, but we're talking about a child's life here. So I would suggest putting in an application and then staying in touch with the agency. Again, some of these countries, it's a 3 and 4 year wait till you're placed with a child. And in the family, a lot of things change in 3 or 4 years. And so you might have a difference. We've had families who are waiting for one country say, it's going to be too long, let's go ahead and switch over to another country and adopt from another country. So it's a real personal issue. But I would suggest, if you're serious, to start by getting an application in. Once you get an application in, then the agency, Holt, will do this, will help counsel you as to what it is you're interested in, which country you're interested in, a child from that country, what it means. What does it mean in terms of timing? What does it mean in terms of process? Are we going to have to travel? Holt is in Uganda. At one point, Uganda required a 3-year stay for the adopting family. I don't know anybody who'll go to Uganda for 3 years just to adopt a child. That has all been changed. So there is an ebb and flow here. There's a kind of a natural process as the agencies interact with the countries, and we say that's not doable. Our adoptive families will not do that. Can we meet somewhere? And so it does change. Guatemala used to have a tremendous amount of kids years just recently coming out of there for adoption, and now there are none coming out of there. So it does change. The landscape changes rather rapidly.
Special needs kids all over the world, and I think they're especially close to God's heart. If somebody was saying, we would be very open to serving as the parents, the privilege of parents of a special needs child, realizing that there are other issues involved in that, there are tougher issues. Is that possible?
Certainly is possible. Harry Holt's quote was, every child deserves a home of their own. He didn't make a stipulation on whether that was a special needs child or not. And Holt has had a great history of placing special needs children. In fact, there's a campus in north of Seoul called Ilsan that has special needs children under their care and has for decades. In fact, Molly Holt, Harry Holt's daughter, runs that for the organization. But what we have is an opportunity for families to adopt a child that with minor, sometimes it's minor correctable special needs. Medical advances here in this country, in the United States, are so much advanced in many respects and available to families that minor special needs can be corrected. And so the child, many times, say a cleft lip and palate or something like that can be corrected here once that child is brought over. And so it is an opportunity to, in some ways, expedite the process too, because many times these special needs children, they realize, the countries realize, that their care is critical And so they will speed the process up for those children.
Very interesting. That's a great thing. Now, when we think of adoption, we also think of the cost involved in adopting a child. And international adoptions seem to be expensive at times. So I want you to talk about the options for a family as they kind of look at handling the finances of an adoption that would be international.
There certainly are financial considerations that need to be discussed before you begin the process. It does vary country to country, and that has to do with what the fees are within the country and what they expect governmentally. You do have opportunities through many organizations, Holt's one of them, where there's a reduction of adoption fee program that many times there's actually a reduction in the fees for special needs kids, but there's also reductions just in general that can be had. There's a federal tax credit that sunsets actually at the end of 2010, and we're working to advocate to have that renewed. But that's a $10,000 tax credit for an international adoption for a child you adopt. And then many times employers, the larger employers and some smaller, do a match or have some sort of assistance program as an employee who adopts a child as they come into the finalization and it's it comes to the end.
You know, Roger, I have a friend, their company, it's a wonderful radio broadcasting company, actually did that and came alongside. I had never heard of that. Is that something that does take place pretty often?
Well, with adoption, both domestically and internationally, coming more to the forefront, many employers have done that. And it's actually a wonderful gesture of support for that employee. And I think it should be expanded even more. But many, many do.
That's fascinating. Now, you know, I want to turn the corner a little bit. We don't have much time left. But I want you to take the final moments of this segment anyway and tell us what you feel has been some of the greatest joys of being an adopted child yourself. I mean, you're the president of Holt, but yet you're also an adopted child. You know, talk about it for you personally.
I think in terms of what an adoptee feels and what are the key points, one issue that I had an adoptive mom ask me, if you could tell me one thing, what would you tell me? And I said, and I had to think about that for a second. And I always knew I was adopted even when I was young. But I told her, I said, what I think you should do is sit down with your child someday, have some ice cream, and come up with your story. In other words, you agree, the two of you, that when somebody asks, well, who are you, or where are you from, or where'd you come from, or how come you look different, your story sounds just like your child's story. Because then you've agreed on it, it's something to be proud of. You don't ever want your child to have to defend themselves unprepared when it comes to that.
Well, that's great wisdom from Kim Brown today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns having a conversation with Kim about adoption and how it's a beautiful way to build your family. If you are looking for resources, if you have questions about adoption, maybe you're thinking about it or you're an adult child who was adopted in your youth and you want to learn more about how to find your birth parents or whatever, we do have some resources available to you and encourage you to go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section. It'll take you right to the articles and tip sheets and videos that we have available on a variety of topics. There's a little box there that says Get Answers. That's our search engine function. And just write in adoption, and you will be able to find that as well at homeward.com. Also, if you'd like a copy of this program, we've got it in the audio archives, but if you'd like an audio CD of this program, just write to us at P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. And now we're going to continue with part two of today's edition of Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Joining us here in studio today is Marcia Lance, and Marcia is a friend of mine personally because she's our pastor's wife, and we've known each other for many years, but as we're talking about how adoption is a beautiful way to build your family, Jim, and joining us in studio here is a good friend of mine, and also our pastor's wife, so I have to be nice to her. Marcia Lance is here, and Marcia, this is your story, and it's so encouraging to me whenever I meet somebody who has your history with adoption, because I know that it was such a blessing for you.
It was. I was adopted when I was 3 months old. My birth mother was only 20, so I was born out of wedlock. She was sent away very hard in the 60s for her to be able to be accepted in her community. And so her mother, along with the adoption agency in Nebraska, actually said it would be healthier for her to leave and go to a tiny little town. So she went to Chadron, Nebraska, very tiny town, lived with an older lady, and then she went through her pregnancy with that. I was born in a little hospital, only like 12 beds, very tiny, and then put up right away for adoption. I was adopted by a wonderful family. They already had adopted a son about 5 years before me. So I was the second adopted child. They were living in North Platte, Nebraska. My dad was a medical doctor and my mom was a nurse. They were older. My dad has passed away now, but my mom will be 85. Wow. So to be a big, you know, a bigger difference was that here's my birth mom giving me up. She's 20 and my mom's already in her 30s, you know, almost 40s. So that was different, but they did a lot of evaluation and checking and finding out that this was the best family for me. It was a great childhood. I knew from the beginning that I was adopted. It was never hidden.
Yeah, that was my next question, was how was that presented to you?
Yeah, it was never hidden. I think when some of my friends, when they were growing up with me in North Platte, Nebraska, they said, oh, well, you know, you could use that against your parents. And I said, I would never think about that. Yeah. But I did have a friend who was adopted and would use that because she had other brothers and sisters who were not adopted. And she always thought she was picked on. And it really made me upset that she would do that. I never felt like that. I always felt very loved. I knew right away, soon as I was old enough, that I was adopted. I didn't come from my mom and dad, but they loved me so much, they chose me. So I always felt like I was a chosen child. And I guess something that's special was that I was adopted actually on Good Friday.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of a fun time during Easter that I can actually celebrate because it was that day that they picked me up.
You had a birthday and a chosen day. That's great. Now, how you talked about it was always part of the family story. Mm-hmm. At some point, though, curiosity took over because you wanted to meet your birth mother.
I did, definitely. When I got to be about seventh grade, I just finally took things in my own hands and I decided that I wanted to write the adoption agency in Omaha. So I did. I wrote just a very simple note and just said, please know I'm very happy with my parents and my family, but I'm just curious.
Okay.
And later as an adult, I found out that I had to release my records in Nebraska before my birth mom or family would even be able to find me anyway.
Oh, wow.
I was not even aware of that. Mm-hmm. I always thought she could look me up anytime she wanted.
Yeah.
But no, I would have to, as an adult at 21, release those records. And so even if she wanted to find me, it was locked until I opened it. So anyway, in junior high, I wrote the letter. They wrote back to me and just said, be happy with who you're with. You know, we've selected these parents for you. They love you. They're raising you well. And later, if you become an adult, if you want to seek, you're welcome to do that. Well, I got that letter back in the mail, and my mom and dad, I mean, that's the ones who raised me. I call them mom and dad.
Sure.
They aren't anything different. My mom saw that letter and was very hurt.
So she didn't know that you were going to
She didn't know I was writing until I got a response.
Got
well,
it.
Of course, as an adult mom, she's picking up the mail. She finds it from the children's home. Of course, she's going to wonder. It was addressed to me, which, you know, to be a seventh grader and getting official business letter is pretty kind of strange.
Sure.
She was very hurt. She said, well, have we not raised you well? Mm. We love you. Have we not given you a good home? And I was devastated. That was not my plan at all. I never wanted to hurt them. And so I dropped it. I really did. I just knew that somewhere God was going to prepare my heart or that the doors would open if it was meant to happen. And if it didn't, I was okay with that.
Yeah.
I would just go with that. But I kind of waited. And so I talked to Leland and I said, well, you know, I think I'm going to call or I'm going to write the adoption agency again back in Omaha, Nebraska. And I was now in Minneapolis. See where I can get. So I did. I went ahead and called and I was attached to a caseworker. And her name was Marcia, spelled it the same way. I thought, okay, this is destined.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of asked her questions. I said, here's the situation. Just wondering if I can now open that file or can I do anything to locate? What's the cost? What do I need to do? And the first thing I wanted to make sure she did not have to do was contact my mom. Mm-hmm. I said, I hurt her when I was in junior high.
Right.
And I know I'm 32 years old, but if you have to contact her for any reason, then I want to drop it right now because I'm not going to open that can of worms again.
Sure.
But they didn't have to. And so they said, well, we've got your letter here. And I said, well, what? And she goes, yeah, we've got your file. Now, this is 32 years. Well, I mean, I was in junior high, but 20 some years. And I said, you've got my letter I wrote to you when I was in junior high. And she goes, of course, we have everything.
Wow.
And so she says, I have some non-identifying information I can give you that your birth mom left that tells a little bit about her family history, a little bit about your birth father. And would you like me to send that? And I said, of course, you know, send that. Well, when I got that letter, it was just, you know, it was really wonderful because even then the puzzle was fitting together because she was German. She was brought up Lutheran. So it's kind of funny that I'm a Lutheran pastor's wife.
Right, right.
So, I mean, everything was just kind of fitting in. She had known my birth father. They dated for almost 3 years. He wanted to marry her when she found, or he found out that she was pregnant with me. But she was in a very unhealthy family situation and felt like it was better that she loved me enough to give me up and didn't want to get married just because she thought she had to. Even with just that information, I called back about a week later and I said, this is great. I said, you know, I'm even content with that because it's more than I knew. Leland was happy because my birth father was Swedish, so he knew that I had some Swede in me.
That's good.
So that was funny because he was brought up Swedish.
Sure.
So anyway, I was ready to, you know, if that's all I can do, that's fine. She says, no, you can go on. And I said, okay. And so she went looking and I had to write a letter, which was very interesting because I'm a very bubbly personality and I love to just talk and talk and talk. And she said, no, your letter has to be very non-identifying. It can say you're married, you have two children, you're living in a large city. It can't tell all the details because maybe she doesn't want to contact you, but we can put it in your file, open your file. And then if we find her, that's the first thing she'll read. So it's really difficult to write a letter to a birth mom who gave me up 32 years ago that I've never met. And what is she going to react like? Yeah. And so I just started writing a letter like I was introducing myself and told her that I'd had a great upbringing, that I had wonderful parents. I'd lost my dad to cancer. I had another adopted brother and, you know, I just kind of filled her in and it ended up being about, I don't know, 5 or 6 pages, handwritten, sent it off to the adoption agency and just let it sit. And months went by. I would call her about once a month to see, hey, how you doing? Any luck? And she says, well, no, we're kind of having a dead end because what they do first is they contact where she put me up for adoption, which was in Chadron, Nebraska, and it's a tiny place, but they look to see with her birth name or her, you know, maiden name, if anyone knew her. Well, she had, she had lived there only just to have me and then moved back. So there weren't any relatives up there. So that was a dead end. Then they went to see if there was any marriage certificates because they can see her, you know, maiden name becoming something else when she gets married. Well, she wasn't married in Nebraska. She was married in a different state. So, you know, there were a lot of dead ends and a lot of things that didn't seem like they were going to come together. And I just prayed. I just said, you know what, Lord, if it's meant, it's going to happen. And I called back to the agency just out of a whim. And I got her secretary and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. She's on the phone, but I'll leave a message and have her call you back. She was on the phone with my birth mom. She had found her.
Wow.
So, I mean, for the timing of everything, you know, to be months before I'd talk to her and then to call the actual time she's talking to my birth mom.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Anyway, that's kind of my story.
And it's such a beautiful story. And Marcia, thank you for sharing that with us today. I know that you are saying a story and sharing truths that a lot of people in our audience are listening to right now, and they're agreeing with and saying, oh my goodness, so that was my experience. Or maybe, wow, I'd like that to be my experience. And I know Dr. Jim Burns has spoken often about the fact that his daughter, Christy, and that when Kathy and Jim were able to adopt Christy, they've still been able to maintain contact with her birth mother. And that can be a very, very special thing too. Not in every situation and circumstance, but I mean, for the most part, it can be very, very beneficial. And as we've been talking today about adoption, a beautiful way to build your family, I want to remind you that all the programs that we've done on this topic are available, not just the past couple, but we've done several that are all available in our Homeward Online Resource Center in the audio archives. You can also request CDs of them as well when you contact us at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.